Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Open it up to Psalm 23. What we're going to do today is I want to give you a few lessons from Psalm 23 for dads today. So we're just going to walk through this together. I have a sense of what God wants to do, but I'm just going to follow him and see where this all leads us to. I love as well, if you have it on your phones, you can pull out the Passion Translation. I love that translation for this particular psalm. It's just fantastic. And so Father's Day today, it gives me the pleasure to begin to speak to the dads, but really this message is for everyone. And so please, as you know, we begin to share here, and I will be speaking to dads specifically, but don't shut me down or shut me off because you're not a dad in there. Everyone can glean and everyone can grab. I think that's really a lesson that I learned over the years, that no matter what environment I am in, no matter what speaker is speaking, no matter what is being said, I can receive. Come on, now that's a good word right there, right? I can glean, I can receive. And you know what? For me, the tougher it is, for example, whatever it would be, Pastor Gary has asked me to come to women's conferences many times, okay? And I'm the guy sitting on the corner in there, and the place is just packed full of ladies. And I'm like, and it was an honor to be asked to come, but at the same time, it was like, wow, okay, I was just focused on being, you know, one of the only guys in the room. There was a couple of us in here. But there was always a sense, even though the speaker spoke, for example, to moms or to women, I gleaned. Come on now. I gleaned. I grabbed a hold of. So this is a season right now for all of us that we begin to, when we walk in here, we're saying, you know what? I'm receiving something today. Come on, say it with me now. I'm receiving something today. So no matter who's speaking, no matter what's happening, no matter what is being said, I'm receiving something today. Whether it's in worship, however it would be, I am not leaving this place the same because I need a change and I need a transformation. Amen? Come on, amen? And so we're going to walk together down the 23rd Psalm and just see what God is going to say in this. To me, being a dad has been the greatest pleasure of my life. It's been both probably the greatest challenge and as well as the greatest pleasure. Because I want to address something in the room right now, and don't put up your hand. If you hear me now, do not put up your hand. But how many of you may have experienced this before? You feel like you're a terrible dad. Don't put up your hand. Remember I said, okay, in there. You can feel that. That is an attack of the enemy. But oftentimes as fathers, we can feel like, you know what, I'm not like that person over there. I'm not like that. I can't do that. I can't even live up to this. And that doesn't mean that those of us that when we want to walk after what God has. But I'll give you an example of it just now. Pastor Dorman shared a beautiful story and testimony of his dad. But you know, not all dads are like that, right? Not all dads, for example, get up in the morning and you see them out there and they're doing their devotions. Maybe they do them differently. Maybe it's done differently. Maybe it's a different. But every single one of us have the opportunity to make an impact. Amen? Come on now. We as fathers in the house. Now, I'm also speaking, I really believe that in this next season that we're walking into, and I say that a lot for some reason in when I preach, but it's something where I feel like fathering, and really the words probably are mentoring, is going to become stronger and stronger. But here's the deal. If I want to be a good father, I need to remember that I'm a son. It is key ingredient for me as a father to remember that I'm a son. Because we're really, I got to open this up right now. My mouth, this is dry. That's really strange how that happened. So, right now, Pastor Jay is walking us through an amazing series, And Not Or, okay, in there. And everywhere I look, I see that right now. Everywhere I look, I'm just going, there it is right there again. I think it's the same thing with, we're talking about Father's Day. It's not that we are only fathers in this, that I am a father and I am a son, and I have to keep that understanding, and I have to position myself as a son to receive from the Father. You know, it's something that was probably a lot better than the response for it. Thank you, Pastor Jay. That was awesome. Hey, in this, I'm kidding. Come on now. Just smile at me. The idea in this is that if we want to receive, if we want to be, for example, I'm like, oh, I wish I just had somebody to father me in the spirit, then become a son to somebody in the spirit. become a son to somebody in the spirit, say to them, beginning to pray for them, beginning to minister to them. That's what a son does. And even as their father, with their father, they're in this relationship back and forth. They say, I want to receive from you. My dad has so many gifts, so many abilities. I saw them when I was growing up. My dad, I tell you, and I love embarrassing him on this day. I just get this opportunity to do this. But I can't stand vacuuming. You're all like, oh, Pastor Rod, you're supposed to like, no. Okay, I'm sorry. But I wish I had 12 of those robots that could just go around and vacuum and whatnot. But you know what? It's got to be done. My dad is like, I see him, he will vacuum, he will cook, he will do all kinds of things. And it's things that sometimes the world would say, come on, no, that's a woman's job. My dad, from a very young age, began to teach me by an example that there's no such thing as a woman's job. Come on now, right? This is us walking together. Now, some of us do it better than I. I can't even hardly do it as well as he can in this. But there's something, that doesn't mean I back off and then I go, oh, well. No, I become like a son again and say I'm going to be taught by my father's example. This is so very key for those of you that are sons right now, and even whether it's daughters or whoever it might be, it's positioning. We want to receive someone, position yourself as a son or a daughter in their lives, and you will begin to receive from their lives. I'm telling you, there is something in me that is just even beginning to stir, because I believe that there are those, and you got to hear me really, really clearly on this, that I believe mentorship has absolutely nothing to do with how old you are. I know it has very much to do at all. I want to be mentored by those that are younger than me and those that are older than me. And if we position ourselves that we're only willing to be mentored by those that are older than us, we're going to lose out. Do you know that the youth mentor me? You say, what in the world are you talking about, Pastor Rod? I will look over at them. I will watch what's happening in their lives. I will listen to them and talk to them. They don't even know I'm doing it half the time, but I want to hear what's going on so that I know how to pray. I can see in the spirit. I watch them. If someone has a great idea, I don't just sit there and go, well, they're so young. They're so young. No, I'm like, that, God gave them that. We're going to walk in that right now. It's the season of being able to look away from age and realizing, I tell you, I wish I had something I could pound on the table to get fully everyone listening to me. We got to stop talking about how old we are and whether we're done or how young we are. There is this sense within me that if we walk together as one, that doesn't, and listen. Oh, I know, look, please don't tell me I'm a spring chicken, okay, in this. There's those of you that are going to look at me when I say this, but I turned 55 this year. To be honest with you, it's freaking me out just a little bit. So all of these fingers are pointing back at me right now, and I'm trying to remind myself on a regular basis that you're as old as you declare, Rod. And you're going to feel and have the supplies left as you declare that they're there for you in your life. Because here's the thing, we all need each other. We got to walk together. So fathers and sons begin to walk together. Fathers and daughters begin to walk together. Mothers, fathers, families, then beginning to allow and make room for others in our families. You know what plus one Sunday is really all about? It's about family expansion. It's about family expansion. I can remember being around this one particular family growing up, and everybody wanted to be at their house. Everybody wanted to be at their house because it was kind of crazy. But you were allowed to just go into the fridge at their house. And I'm like, what? No, it's not my fridge. And they're like, look. And here's the thing. They wouldn't offer you anything to drink because they told you once. Come on in. If there's something in the fridge you want, just grab it. And I'm like, I needed permission to go in. And they're like, no. And they'd see me and they don't have it. You know, you could just go get something. And it was this experience. And there was an expansion of their family in that environment. And I'm telling you right now that we, and this is all these fingers are preaching back at me, because I'm kind of an... Karen knows, I am kind of an isolation in the sense of sometimes a prophet can be the fact that I'm comfortable with me, myself, and I. There's the three of us to take care of each other. Okay, you know, in there, I'm good with the fact of being by myself. I really am. I don't sit there and need 72 friends. I just don't. But you know what I do? I need a family. And I need a family that goes beyond my own family. And so that takes work. If you think it's just automatic, now I should probably get to some notes here. It takes work. It takes all of us. Do you know what the biggest thing it takes? See, when I treat you like my son or my daughter, I love you no matter what. My kids, most of them I think are here right now. They've done some crazy things over their years. You see, they're here, the one giggling in the background over there, right? And they've done some things that I've just went, oh my Lord, what are you doing? But you know what? If I ever, and sometimes I have to work on this, if I ever pull back my love because they're not doing what I want them to do, that's control and manipulation. Nothing more, nothing less. Think about it in the context of walking together as one. If I only welcome the ones that I agree with, if I only be around those that I kind of like. Do you know that you're not going to like everybody? Is that a revelation to anybody else? It's just, wow, there's people that annoy me. Oh, Dorman, I'm not sure I was allowed to say that, but, you know. He just loves everybody. But you know what? There has to be a place and a position. And we need help. And this is a lot of what Pastor Jay has been trying over the years to try to get us to walk in. Is opening our doors, making room for one another. Do you know that it doesn't automatically happen? It's shocking. It doesn't automatically happen. So when even in this summer, as we begin to even gather together at different times, and we get the opportunity later on in the summer, and Pastor Jay will share a lot more about this, but the opportunity to get together, to connect together. Can I challenge you to try to find a new friend over the summer? This is so weird to say that. Lord, why am I doing this? I have a wonderful sermon here. Can I encourage you as a father in the house to find a new friend this year, this summer, in our church? You can say, Pastor Rod, is this Sesame Street or what's going on here? Do you know that we'll grow if we do this? We will. We will grow if we do this. So I'm asking you, I'm actually going to be bold enough to challenge you. And so, only if you want to, if you're willing to find a new friend by the end of the summer in our church, and it'd be great to have them outside as well, but in our church, put up your hand. Hold it up, you and God. So those of you who didn't hear me, those of you that are looking, you say, I'm willing to find a new friend in this congregation over the summer. Okay, good, put your hands down. So yeah, I say, why would I ask you to put your hand up? Because sometimes there has to be accountability in this. And so we're walking together. Now, here's what I didn't say. I didn't ask anybody if they needed a best friend in their lives. Okay, right? This is what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about making new connections and walking together. Because as fathers and as mothers in this house, no matter how old or how young we are, we need each other's wisdom. Amen? We need each other's company and guidance. Okay, so you've got Psalm 23. That was a whole, wow. Okay, so that was a lot of preamble in the midst of that. So let me just read Psalm 23. Let me read it to you. I believe that I got a couple of things that I want to share with you today about fatherhood and shepherding. So let's read it together from the New King James first. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. There are so many declarations found within that psalm. We need to approach it again and brand new and just begin to declare it again and again and again. I will. There's whole kinds of them in the midst of this. That surely goodness and mercy shall beginning to follow me all the days of my life. And I will, me and my family, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that first part when it talks about the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd has these dual roles. The shepherd is both the protector and the nurturer. So as fathers, let me talk to you about protecting and nurturing right now. Protecting means mostly really, it means this. Yes, we do live in a place and in a society where we do have to protect our children. And the younger that they are, we protect them from different things. But when I say what I'm talking about right now is I believe that the father and the mother together, but the father specifically, we need to protect the environment in our homes. Protect the environment in our homes. Now, I'm going to just be like Dorman did this morning, put himself on the line in this. I want to put myself on the line. Sometimes I'm the one that creates the terrible environment. And you're all like, whoa, it's just you, Pastor Rod. No, sometimes I'm the one. I'm the one that walks in and lets my grumpiness, none of you are grumpy, I know, it's just me, but lets my grumpiness become the atmosphere that everybody else has got to tiptoe around. Come on now. This is what I'm talking about, God has been talking to me over and over and over again about this, and it's something that we begin to set the atmospheres. Dads, will you go with me? No matter what your struggle is, no matter how you feel, I'm going to just be really blunt, Pastor Jane, you may have to come up and just correct some things if you think it's not right. So I'm just kidding. Fathers, get off your duffs and begin to lead. Begin to lead in your house. That doesn't mean that, wife, do what I'm telling you. This is what we're going to do. It's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about spiritually. I've seen it over and over again where the dads will pull back and just say, well, that's my wife's role. That's my wife's job. She kind of brings the religious stuff in. I'm not religious. I walk, and I tell you, there's just something about it. And hear me now, if you heard me wrong, then just ask me what I meant by it, okay, in this. But there's this sense of when a son or a daughter sees their father going after things spiritually, it changes them. It just transforms them. And it's not that a mom doesn't do that, because a mom's is as well. But I can tell you right now, and you've heard me say this story, my father gave me permission to worship. And for my dad, it was really difficult. You know, some of you just were like, whoa, you can't even hardly type. Look at Abby next time we're going to, don't look at her for worship. But you can, the reason she's doing kids worship is because she can hardly just stop. But she wants to praise the Lord. But not everybody's like that. And my dad growing up, I don't remember him like he was all over the place worshiping. No. But I can remember it in Tottenham, okay, and looking over at him and him beginning to raise his hands and beginning to worship. And I remember looking up at him and seeing tears begin to fall from his face and being in worship. And it was like, did he worship like everybody else? No, he worshiped like he worshiped as Reg in that moment. But it gave me an internal, listen, dad didn't say it's okay in worship for us to cry. It's okay in worship for us. We just raise our hand. Didn't do any of that stuff. He just did it. Didn't even know I was probably looking at him. And that's usually the way it is. But there is this sense of going, it's okay for me to begin to enter in as a kid, no matter if anybody else was going. And boy, I tell you, when you start entering in as a teenager and you start worshiping, if anybody ever told you that all the rest of the youth are going to love it, they lied to you. Because sometimes it's a real difficult journey when you really begin to go after God. You know, and there's this sense, though, that we look and we see a father. A father then protects the atmosphere in the house. He is a fierce protector. But I love this part. When you look down, it says, I shall not want in the New King James Version. I will always have more than enough is what the Passion Translation. And the idea is in this, I think, fathers, we need to teach our children this. We need to teach our children to be content with what they have while they're aspiring for more. Be content with what you have while you're aspiring for more, while you're going after the more, but be content in your heart, be content in your spirit, be thankful and be appreciative for what you have. You know, there is this sense, if you look through the scripture, we need to teach our children how to turn to the Father for change. We need to look at the Father, because how many of you know that there's been lack all around us? Maybe none of you experienced that in there. Maybe you have experienced it. But if there's lack in my life does not disqualify this word. Hear me now. Lack in my life does not disqualify me from this word. What it does is it causes me to turn to my Father who is going to change things. And this is what I'm talking about teaching our children, that when we are in crisis, when we are in difficult situations, when things are not going well, that we can oftentimes turn to, well, let's just, I'm a fixer. It's gotten me trouble over the years in our marriage at times. I want to fix everything and not necessarily listen. Just jump in and fix it. Okay, in there. And that doesn't work, by the way, those of you that are newly married, don't do that. So the idea in this, though, is we see that, you see, there's this expectation that happens. Let me show you what happens in Matthew chapter 14, or you can go to Mark chapter 6, and you can find the story there when Jesus is praying over the two fish and the five loaves in this. And he simply does this. He simply thanks God and hands it out. I'm like, I was sitting there the other day reading this, and this story often gets told in children's ministry. So I was asking the Lord one day about this story, going, was there more? Did you say more? He's like, why did I need to say more? I thanked my Heavenly Father for it, and I gave it out. There was an expectation for a miracle to begin to happen. Can we teach our children to lean into the Father with the expectation for the miraculous? You say, well, how do I do this? I'm glad you ask. There is this one way to begin to do this, is to tell stories, to begin to shape our hearts of our children by the stories that we tell them. And stories, I don't mean made up stuff. I mean stories, literal stories. There is a fantastic book called Children and the Supernatural by Jennifer Toledo. And I really encourage you parents to get this. It may stretch some of you, because the miraculous that we saw these kids do, it was just crazy. In fact, I would like to read to you just quickly, and I'll try to go over this and read you this story. When a child's heart sings. There's a child, Patrick and I, this lady's talking, arranged for a group of 12 children to go to the local hospital, and this is in Africa, which is called the District Hospital. It is the largest hospital in the region and is full of sickness, sadness, and death. It was very overwhelming at first. Not only were our senses overloaded because of the smells and the scenes and the sounds and the pain and the suffering and so on, but the patients didn't even seem to be excited to see us. Now, this was a lady who was a missionary there, and she had a group of kids who were orphans at one time, and then now they lived with them, and they were no longer orphans. But they were together. And so they would go to different places and different hospitals and different places and pray for people. So that's just the background of this. There were 40 to 70 people per room. Isn't that crazy? And patients were suffering from malaria, typhoid fever, AIDS, and more. The environment was so intense that the children began to shrink back, overwhelmed by the situation. I pulled the children aside, this is important, and lovingly reminded them that we didn't have to do anything in our own strength. We simply needed to listen to the Father's instructions and do what he said. That seemed to put them more at ease, and we just waited on the Father's instructions. And they were in this particular ward, and this boy named Richard came up to her and said, I think I'm supposed to sing a song. And it was just the obedience of a little child that began to change things and began to move. But I need to give you a little bit of background, no matter if we don't get much farther than this today. Give you a background in this story. Let me give you his story. You need to hear Richard's story to truly appreciate the moment. Richard comes from the Turkana people, a remote indigenous group in the northern Kenya. And the Turkana are nomadic shepherds who live much like they've lived for thousands of years. The Turkana region was hit severely by horrific drought and famine, and Richard's family had struggled to survive. Because of the extremely hard conditions, Richard and his twin sister were given away to elderly relatives shortly after their birth. Richard's parents went on to have two more children, and when Richard was only 5 years old, his mother, who was pregnant again, and this is difficult to hear, but was beaten to death by her father. His father fled the village, and it is said that he was killed in response to his actions. It was a horrible tragedy, and Richard grew up much as other Turkana orphans do. He was passed from one person to the next until finally he was able to walk, and he could be given a few animals to tend. He survived as a very young boy in the blazing desert by suckling from the roaming camels and the goats. He was alone and unprotected. That is, until a man who called himself Jesus began to visit him in the middle of the desert. This man would talk to the young Richard, telling him that one day, he would rescue him out of this place and that he would always love him and care for him. In the year 2000, when Richard was just 7 years old, my friend Patrick and his bishop came to know Richard's village. While distributing food up to the drought-stricken desert in the north, the two ministers learned that there were seven orphans in the village who desperately needed care. A few months later, in the early 2001, a team of people, including Patrick and two dear friends of mine, she says, Ralph Bromley and Noel Alexander, made a long trek out to find them, those orphans, and bring them back to their children's homes in Bungoma. I'm sure I've said that wrong, Kenya. When the village leaders heard of these strange white men who wanted to take their children, they became nervous and told the children these foreigners would probably eat them and they should not go with them. Although Richard didn't understand much of what these white men were saying, he heard them say that they knew Jesus. So he confidently went with them and told the others, "They may eat me, but they say they know Jesus. And they are going to send me to school. I believe them, and that is all that matters." See, he'd already met Jesus out in the desert. That is how Sweet Richard came to live in Bungoma at the children's home I was working at with them at the time. Due to the resistance of only four of the seven orphans came along, and Richard met Jesus as his Lord and Savior and walked around with a beaming smile and a heart of gratitude. That sunny day, as we took our first steps into that hospital, now going to the present story, Richard felt the Lord leading him to sing a song. I had no idea what might happen, but I encouraged Richard to do whatever the Lord was putting on his heart. He nervously moved to the front of the group, and everyone in the room looked at him with irritation. But Richard just closed his eyes, and 7 years old, and focused on all of his love and attention on the man, Jesus, who had rescued him out of the desert. Richard began to sing the old hymn, "I Surrender All." And with the most tenderness and love you've ever heard, this little boy lifted his hands to heaven, tears streaming down his face, and he just began to worship with abandon. It was truly one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. I closed my eyes and was unable to restrain my tears. As Richard sang with such love, heaven came down into that hospital. The atmosphere in the room dramatically shifted. The presence of God was so strong that I was afraid to open my eyes. The weight of the glory of the heavens was so present, it felt hard to breathe. The beautiful, cracking, off-key, passionate worship of a child had unlocked the realm of that overwhelmed me. I knew I was not alone. When I finally was able to open my eyes, I saw the whole room was undone by the sudden presence that had taken us over. We didn't have to preach the gospel that day. We didn't have to convince anyone to give his life to Jesus. People began to cry out to the living God as the Holy Spirit began to move in that room. And children quickly began to move out, and they led people to the Lord everywhere. Want to radically change your children? Read those stories to them. It begins to shift us. You look and you begin to see. If we looked over at verse 2, and I know that I'm we'll just see how what happens. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. That's the Passion Translation. Can you imagine trying to make a sheep do anything? Can you imagine trying to press down a sheep? You're jumping. Yeah, if you have that image that that's what's going on, that the shepherd's out there and he's tackling the sheep, making them right. No, this is a better place to be. Boom, and he's tackling them. That does not what that's referring to. But when it says makes me lie down, what he's talking about is there is such a different atmosphere in that field that they feel protected, they feel provided for, and they can begin then to lie down in these peaceful places. As fathers, it is our responsibility that we would create this atmosphere in our homes. And, you know, for me, and it's become something where sometimes on Father's Day, it's about the fact of getting a whole lot of list of things that we feel guilty about that we don't do. Please don't take that as the message today. But walk into this going, God, if you equip me, I can begin to do this. But it is our responsibility that we would be so filled with his love. If you look at the second part of verse 2, it says this, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But this is what Passion Translation says, his tracks, this is talking about the shepherd now, take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brooks of peace. I think about it like this, think about it like a field, and there is this, ever seen it so that there's this path, you know that path has been well worn, you know, like you can see it, grass and fields grew up everywhere else, but that path, you can see down it, nothing grows on that, but you can obviously see that's a path. I wonder where that path takes me from. The idea in this is I believe that as dads that we're creating these paths in our children's hearts to begin to turn to God. When things are difficult, we turn to God. When things are good, we turn to God. We show them that this is where I go. This is where I go. This, his presence, God's presence is everything to me. You know, if I were to say it this way, my kids still, even at their age now, they must see me. They must see the path that I have laid out going to God. Do you know that I am an extremely imperfect father? I have messed up more times than I can imagine. And you know what's really interesting is I've messed up with the same thing. I rarely come up with something new. I seem to mess up with the same things. And that guilt wants to pull me out of the position of a father. It wants me to sit there and be quiet. It wants me to sit there and say, maybe somebody else should do that. Maybe Karen should do that. Maybe. But I have been again in the last little while saying, God, I'm going to restore these paths again. No matter what's going on, I'm going to restore. I'm going to walk every day these paths again with you. I want it to be that I restore them because I need these paths in my own lives and my children need to see these paths as well. Amen? Sorry. Verse 4 in the Passion Translation says this, Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, fear will not conquer me, and I love this, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all, all the way. See, fear will try to conquer us. Fear will try to paralyze us. It will try to overwhelm us. It will try to basically remind us of our paths. It will basically begin to lie about our present and certainly lie about our future. Anybody with me and you're tired of listening to the devil's lies? Man, I give him too much time. You'd be like, Pastor Rod, really, you do that? Man, too much time. Too much time listening to what he thinks. Too much time listening. And not enough time declaring in the midst of this. So is it time for us to go on that journey where we begin to believe that no matter, the New King James says the shadow of the valley of death. Notice it wasn't actually the valley of death. It was the shadow. It was the unknown that was really causing this. But I want to be the one, I want to be a man of God. I want to be the one, a father that leads and walks in these things. Our time has gone so very quickly this morning. Just go with me to verse 5. I love this, and I'll just end with, well, go 5 and 6 really quickly. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You become, or the Passion Translation says this, you become my delicious feast. Can I encourage you, dads, to learn to look for the Heavenly Father's table when the enemies are all around? I realized something when I was preparing this. I'm going, God, how long have I known you now? This year will be 50 years. I'm like, wow, I still sometimes do that. And this verse just popped right at me. And I'm like, Lord, I need to start looking for your table when things are going difficult. I need to expect your table to show up when things are difficult. Do you understand what I'm saying, or am I being too aloof in this? The sense is this, that when something happens and when a difficulty occurs, the expectation is God's going to come in with provision. Come on now. Amen? That in these moments, that I doesn't mean that I don't plan, it doesn't mean I don't prepare, it doesn't mean I don't have education, it doesn't mean I don't have wisdom in this, but I have an expectancy that when all of a sudden I see a whole lot of garbage going on, I'm like, woo, the Father is setting up a table. The Father is setting up a table. I wonder what he has for me today. And when the enemy comes along and says, yeah, but you're not welcome at that table, I'm just like, oh, you don't know me, do you? My DNA has been radically changed. And if you look quickly at it, it is a son of the living God. And this is my table that I am always welcome at. I would encourage you in this season to sit and stop and pray. Fathers, this is what I'm hoping for. I'm not saying this is an absolute that's going to happen. But I am excited about the fathers that are going to be raised up as prayer warriors over the next season. And I don't mean, listen to me really carefully, I don't mean the fact that your kids are in trouble so you're praying. I'm talking about it doesn't matter what the situation is, you're rising up in prayer because we have an expectancy of change. Sorry this is really rushed in this way. That story took longer to tell. Verse 6, the last one, so let's go here and we'll end with this. So this is again is the Passion Translation. So why should I fear the future? For I am being pursued only by your goodness and your unfailing love. I got this last example for you. You see, fathers, just look at me for a second. I'm closing here. And this, dads, God just loves you so much. He's so proud of you. You're like, you don't know. You don't know. Yeah, but he has, if you've asked for forgiveness for those things, he has washed them into the sea of forgetfulness, and he doesn't charge you for them. He's not the one that brings them up to you when you cause yourself to pull back. You see, oftentimes orphan thinking says this. It says that I've got to get Holy Father, I've got to get our Father's attention in order to receive blessing from him. And this is what, Sean, if you'd come here for a second and just hold this microphone. Oh, you know what? I will get you to do this. There we go. So hold, yes, exciting. Okay, so hold this up. This is a target. So if you were to walk, So this is a target of God's love. Yeah, there you go, see? God's blessing. So, but you're now going to act like an orphan, okay, who has to basically prove himself, who has to basically get God's attention. So the Father, let's just say, we know a Father is everywhere in this, but you're just trying and you're waving it at God and you're frantically running around. There you go. Okay, so he just loves me anyways, right? And you see that he's waving this at God going, hey, 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 Father, Father, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. This is the, remember the target of your love, right here, right here, right here. And he's like, man, this isn't working. And so what he does is he sits there and he goes and he finds some other people to help him. And he says, Pastor Gary, God always listens to Pastor Gary. So I'm going to get her to come. And what it's going to happen is that she is going to help me. And we're going to see the target. And then for some reason, it's still not working. And so Pastor Jill comes along with Pastor Gary and they're just sitting they're teaming up because, you know, we have everybody in the, and then it's just going to be awesome and great. And you just have all your hands and then I'll just give the all of these. So you got Pastor Jay and you have, I love these signs. And you've got, there you go, Pastor Judy. Yes. And we got Mr. Jack. Okay. And so if you just gather all of them around and if we had every single one of them, I am sure that you would become this target because see, God loves them. I just need to get a little bit of it. You can put them all down right now. Thanks, Sean. Now just hold your target there. See, what you don't realize is, Dads, would you stand up for me right now? You don't need this. You don't need this. Internally in you, in your DNA, because you've given your life to Jesus, the love of the Father is pursuing you. Would you just close your eyes just for a second with me right now as I pray over you? We don't have to be orphans wondering whether or not God really wants to pour on us. He wants to give us strength to be able to make a difference, to make a change. We just got to realize that our DNA, because we have given our life to God, has been transformed, and we are the target of his love. So just put your hands up right now with me. Well, someone will have to forgive me if they're not sure about this, but I'm going to ask Dave Curtis just to come here. He has no idea I'm going to do this. But just put your hands up right now, dads. I'm going to get Dave to pray a father's blessing over you. But here's what I want you to do. Everybody around these dads, I want you to stand up and just put your hand on them, on their shoulder. Go get out of your seat. Go find somebody. And I'm just going to ask Dave to pray a father's blessing over Sop, with the expectation that you will be so filled with a father's love this week that everywhere you go, you will just leak out the beautiful presence of Jesus.
Hi, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for the wisdom. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for your correction. Thank you for your blessings. And I pray, Father, over each dad represented here and those to come, the Father's blessing, his overwhelming love, his never-ending love, his never-failing love, his never-late love. And Papa, I just continue to lift up those, Father, that haven't experienced your love, Lord, that you will make a way for all of us, Lord God, to remove the perceived failures, the perceived doubts, the perceived fears. And Father, that we are your target. It is our hearts that you want, Lord. And so, Papa, each man here, Lord, father-to-be, and any others, Lord, that you will bless them with that knowledge mentally, but also emotionally, Father, that they will see a love they don't have to strive for. It's present. It's there. It's ready. It's willing. So, Daddy, pour out your love upon every man here and bless them. And, Father, let it leak out of them into everyone that they come in contact with, their family, their neighbors, their friends, their co-workers, strangers. Let Daddy's love reign and rule in Jesus' name.
I bless you. Have a great day. I encourage you to go find somebody else along your journey today that you can bless and pray over them as well.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.